Shalom, disciples of Yeshua, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely wife and persistent student of God's Word, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, Tada, my dear. We'll be looking at Isaiah 26 and also Psalm 58 tonight. But first, let's ask God for His blessing.
Abba, Father, only You can know the end from the beginning. And we trust You alone, having full assurance that even in our times of testing, You will continue to direct our paths and make our way smooth while keeping our burdens light. Bless this program, as well as the listeners listening to it today. Please give Your ear to their personal request as we pray for the salvation of all our loved ones. We ask in Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen.
Let's begin with Israel.
Okay. Well, there are negotiations today in Egypt to end the war, and more will be in Qatar, and that would be tomorrow, and Israel's Mossad, along with the CIA Director Burns. By the way, notice the CIA. They usually are involved because they are a foreign intelligence agency that also reports to the Jesuits and has mostly Jesuit-trained employees.
Has a breakthrough occurred?
Well, apparently Hamas has softened its stance, but they are still there and in charge of what's left.
Although Rafah is practically a ghost town.
Yes, but the IDF is still watching closely, conducting more surgical strikes due to some remaining underground tunnels. Now, most of the fighting is further north in Gaza City, where some Hamas, well, they've returned. Anyhow, Netanyahu's goal remains that any ceasefire must only be a temporary ceasefire to release more hostages. If you remember in May, the Biden administration prepared a three-phase deal, but Hamas had refused to accept it. But now, according to some, it's showing signs of flexibility as they are under increased pressure from Qatar and Egypt. Netanyahu spoke with Biden for half an hour last week, going over the details of a ceasefire, agreeing on the framework, but still having issues with the sequencing. A good thing is when fighting stops or pauses in Gaza, Hezbollah says they'll do the same in the north.
As well as the Houthis from Yemen attacking cargo ships.
Yes, but I saw yesterday that Israel nonetheless will continue to take out more infrastructure in southern Lebanon, and that's due to the increase of missiles recently fired into northern Israel, even Tel Aviv.
Yes, around 300 in just 2 days.
Anyhow, all in God's timing for a ceasefire deal. That could be the foundation confirmed in Daniel 9:27. And it looks like Biden is determined to stay in the race in spite of so many Democrats calling for him to exit.
But his family wants him to stay in.
Well, especially Jill, who loves the notoriety. And so Hunter can keep bribing world leaders, I suppose. Also, the deep state, you know, the shadow government, needs their puppet Biden. But Kamala, too, when she has to step in, will be under their thumb as well. Which, as we say often, the deep state will not allow Trump to be president on January 20th.
Yeah, we're not alone. Many think something will happen.
And on another topic, not only is anti-Semitism growing here, France just voted in a far-left government who is not just anti-Semitic, but its new president is very vocal about a Palestinian state in Israel. Most Jews are making plans to leave France.
And the UK just moved to a more left government,
which helps Northern Ireland continue its anti-Semitic successful quest to push every Jew out of Northern Ireland. Again, Aliyah is part of God's plan to bring Jews back to their ancestral homeland. Remaining Jews around the world will return when the Daniel 9 peace treaty is secure, which also begins the tribulation, where first there appears to be peace.
But there is no peace.
Right. For in a short time, the second seal is opened by Christ in heaven, and then the red horse will appear.
Revelation 6:4. And do you have any update on the pandemic treaty?
I do. As you recall, the World Health Organization, or the WHO, had to make some amendments due to much pushback on the first try. Now they are calling it a new name, the One Health Agenda, where a global government will at some point control all plants and animals, in other words, food and humans. And just like the Bible says, causing famines, pestilence, flooding from unsecured dams, and other things like weather manipulation, causing more tornadoes, hurricanes, tsunamis, and, well, the list goes on.
And there will be one global leader.
And a global digital cashless society.
Everything's coming together.
And, you know, COVID was just a test run to see how they might control the people.
As in fear.
Yes, fear of anything. Anyhow, this new treaty will give the WHO permission to call any dire and probably fake emergency.
As in a climate emergency.
Yeah, and probably soon a new, more serious pandemic. The global elite, as well as China, is buying up as much farmland as possible. So, less nutritious food. Rather, GMOs and fake meat, because they will make sure we have fewer cows. And what food there is will be manipulated using mRNA technology. So we ingest it to help depopulate the earth.
Revelation also says that will happen big time.
Yep, it will. Mm-hmm. And they already experiment on changing one's DNA. They're doing it right now. And later, it will surely happen that whoever agrees to accept the probable chip and to worship the beast, your DNA will be changed and you will become a hybrid with a bad seed, as in the days of Noah, prophesied by Jesus. They are also working on more future cities that are completely self-contained, so you won't need a car, which will be too expensive anyhow, well, unless you're rich.
And they'll want to reduce carbon emissions from planes, too.
Yes, so that will be rationed at a very high cost.
Again, only the rich will be able to fly.
And when you become useless to society, euthanasia is highly suggested and probably at some point mandatory.
As in Fabian socialism.
Praise Jesus. He's made a way for his own.
Amen. You can send your end time questions by email to Sheila@shofarministry.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006 or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. Your love offerings are greatly appreciated, which will automatically add you to our mailing list for our prophecy updates and biblical teachings. Please consider any love gift, which you can also make on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where our radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your convenience.
All right. Well, in order to confirm the New Testament scriptures, we usually compare them from the Old Testament, called the Tanakh in Hebrew, that also emphasizes an escape from the final indignation,
also called the tribulation,
or Jacob's trouble that lasts specifically 2,520 days.
Or 7 years of 360 days on the Hebrew calendar.
So turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 26, and tonight, and probably next week, we will study these eye-opening scriptures to enhance your eschatological understanding. So, chapter 26 begins by describing our place of joyful dwelling in Yeshua's Messianic Kingdom when we return to earth after our honeymoon in heaven. As we've been saying for the last couple of weeks, in that day always refers to the last 1,000 years before eternity, with the first 7 years being the tribulation, a type of the dark or night part of that day, because each 24-hour period begins with the nighttime coming first, and then the sun. So verse 1.
In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God will appoint salvation.
By the way, salvation is the same word for Yeshua.
For walls and bulwarks.
So God will appoint Yeshua for our protection. Now, right now, he has already fulfilled that spiritually. But it will also have a literal application during his reign on earth. Verse 2.
Open the gates that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in.
So the word nation is goyei in Hebrew, meaning people or Gentiles. Here it is meant for those people who are the righteous saved. By the way, it is a well-known picture idiom of the first century that the gates are opened on Rosh Hashanah for the rapture / resurrection of the righteous.
And closed on a Yom Kippur.
Yes, when Jesus returns. And then it's too late to repent, when the gates of heaven will be closed.
Yeah, we'll go over that again in a few months.
Oh, we sure will. The word for gate is shahar, like a portal opening into the heavenlies. And scholars who have studied this say there are many portals around the earth to be used to access or leave the heavenlies. Of course, they're referring to the angels. Therefore, the 200 fallen angels as well had to descend through a portal to enter the earth's atmosphere, which, according to Enoch, they did above Mount Hermon in northern Israel by the Golan Heights.
A scriptural example is Jacob in Genesis 28.
Yeah, he saw an opening with a visual prop of a ladder reaching into the sky with angels ascending and descending, so he named it Bethel, meaning house of God.
A few miles north of Jerusalem.
It is, and Bethlehem, which means house of bread, is just south of Jerusalem.
And we should mention Nimrod.
Oh, yes, Nimrod, as he knew there was a portal into the first heaven, Genesis 11:4. For he tried to build the Tower of Babel going up into that particular area where he knew the false gods were. Nimrod was trying to reach them. For Genesis 10 verse 8 says he desired to be one with them. Well, he got his wish, for God turned him over and he became mighty, which is a term used for the giants.
And other historical writings confirm he became extremely large.
Mm-hmm. And the people would set up altars along the tower with small built-in caves to worship. Also, we can still see today, small caves and niches carved into the bottom and sides of Mount Hermon, called the Caves of Pan, who was the name of God.
Yeah, we were there and saw it ourselves.
We did. This is where the mouth of the Jordan River begins. And we were baptized there not only because we wanted to be baptized in the Jordan River, but also especially in this area as a show of defiance to the false gods, and that our God was the real true God, whom we worship and give our allegiance to.
And there are great pictures on the internet of this area.
Mm-hmm. As well, I think it very interesting that the United Nations chose the same area where the fallen angels landed to erect their headquarters.
And speaking of portals, they're here in America too.
Yep. According to the Indians, especially the Apaches in Arizona, say that above the top of their highest mountain called Mount Graham is a portal, as they have seen spirits come through the sky over this mountain, and they therefore consider it sacred ground, which is why the Apaches took the Vatican to court in 2010 to try to stop them from adding a very high-powered telescope camera on the observatory on the top of Mount Graham.
But they could not stop Pope Benedict.
Nope. He, too, answered to the Jesuits, which is why he retired to let a Jesuit take over. And now the Jesuit astronomers who oversee the observatory strongly believe that there is a portal there and have admitted to looking for and expecting extraterrestrials.
And said they would even baptize them when they arrived.
Yeah, their words exactly. How crazy is that, to baptize them? And probably soon an official announcement that aliens are visiting will come, as many already believe has occurred. We have always thought they would use that to explain the rapture.
What else could they say?
What's really holding up their open arrival is that the bride is restraining that probability until we leave, because the aliens are demonic forces just waiting for permission to invade.
Which is a main reason that we must leave.
Amen. Mm-hmm. So continuing in Isaiah 26, verse 3 and 4, that speaks of our attributes. In verses 5 and 6 is what God will do to the high and lofty ones during the tribulation, after we have entered the gates of heaven at our resurrection.
The focus of this chapter revolves around different resurrections.
Pretty much. First for the righteous, and that's us, of course, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, just before the tribulation on earth begins. And then the tribulation saints waiting under the altar till the end of the tribulation.
Who will also return to earth for his kingdom.
Yep, they will, in new bodies like ours. Now in verses 7 and 8, there are more attributes of the just. Then in verse 9, we read that some of the inhabitants that were left behind due to being unrighteous, well, they're going to repent early in the tribulation and learn righteousness. This applies especially to those that you are witnessing to today, who will then, because of what you tell them now, recognize what's happening and quickly call on Jesus.
The tribulation saints.
Yes, as written in Revelation 7:14. Then there's another later resurrection for all the unrighteous at the end of the Messianic kingdom to be judged at the great white throne to determine their punishment according to their works.
Yeah, that's Revelation 20, verses 12 and 13.
And as Jesus says in Matthew 23, verse 14, some punishments will be greater than others.
Perhaps hotter or a different level of hell.
I know it will be fair and merciful. As an example, that sweet old lady next door but just refused to make Jesus her Lord will not suffer as, say, Hitler would. And by the way, saints, get out and visit all the nursing homes and assisted livings, as it is my experience that when you ask them if they want to go to heaven, the answer is usually yes.
Yeah, you know, that's what an open door that is.
Okay, and then we read in verse 10 that even when grace is shown, there are some wicked ones will still not learn righteousness.
So, who are the wicked ones?
Well, the Hebrew word for wicked is rasha, where we get the word raphaim, meaning the unrighteous dead. It certainly refers to the giants, but essentially has what we would term a bad seed, as in Psalm 58. And you know what? Let's just take a connecting side road here for a minute and read starting in verse 1.
Do you indeed speak righteousness, you silent ones?
No, the wicked do not.
Do you judge uprightly, you sons of men?
No, they do not, which kind of reminds me of that judge at Trump's trial. Verse 2.
No, in heart you work wickedness. You weigh out the violence of your hands in the earth.
We see an increase in lawlessness today. Verse 3.
The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies.
You know, I want to remind you that Satan has a seed, and that's according to Genesis 3:15.
Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They are like the deaf cobra that spots its ear, which will not heed the voice of charmers, charming ever so skillfully. Break their teeth in their mouth, O God, Break out the fangs of the young lions, O Lord, let them flow away as waters which run continually.
That's the tribulation judgment.
When he bends his bow.
Revelation 6 says the Antichrist will have a bow and a crown.
Let his arrows be as if cut in pieces. Let them be like a snail, which melts away as it goes, like a stubborn child of a woman, that they may not see the sun. Your pots can feel the burning thorns. He shall take them away as with a whirlwind, as in his living and burning wrath.
Again, descending the swiftness, describing the swiftness of his wrath. Verse 9.
The righteous shall rejoice when he sees the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked, so that men will say, surely there is a reward for the righteous. Surely he is God who judges in the earth.
Yes, rewards are coming. Okay, so knowing about the Raphaim will help you understand who they are as we continue in Isaiah 26, where verse 12 and 13 explain that there have been evil masters over the righteous, but we still only worship God's name. Let's pick it up in verse 14, which tells of those Raphaim who cannot be redeemable at all.
They are dead. They will not live. They are deceased. They will not rise.
That means they will not rise in our resurrection of the righteous.
Therefore, you have punished and destroyed them and made all their memory to perish.
Again, the Hebrew word for dead is Rapha or Raphaim in the plural. And that's number 7496 in your Strong's Bible Dictionary. These are the descendants of the Nephilim from the fallen angels spoken of in Genesis 6 who cannot be a part of any resurrection. Even the unrighteous at the great white throne judgment, which will occur at the end of the Messianic kingdom, according to Revelation 20. These are unredeemable because they have already been judged, just like the fallen angels have, as stated by Jude verse 6. They tried to become redeemable, and God said, nope, too late. However, these wicked entities are coming back during the tribulation in Revelation 9. And that's actually part of the great judgment on the unrighteous that will be here. And it will be horrific. But the good news, those who are born again prior to this coming judgment, which is the tribulation, will escape it all. Praise the Lord, we have his words in Luke 21, verse 36. The righteous will escape what's coming. And I think we have to stop now, but we will continue in Isaiah 26 next time with some good news about our honeymoon. Yeah, next week will be a little happier. Anyway, is Yeshua Lord over your life? As I just said, Luke 21 says you can escape what's coming with a simple prayer. Just admit you are a sinner, repent, and invite him into your spirit. Then let him have dominion over you instead of the God of this world. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing from Numbers 6:22. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her, well, you're going to prosper in many, many different ways. Many blessings. And that's Psalm 122. So till next time, Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.